You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
But you're still a child of God if you love Jesus, if you believe in Jesus. And if you do love Jesus, you want to get right, you want to get back up on your feet. You want to hit it again. But not so you can become a child again, so you can belong again, so God can love you again. Are you out there? I mean, the futility of that, I mean, the insanity of that is that, you know, God loves me more than you do because I live better than you do. Anybody had kids? It didn't work that way. I love all my kids. I'm not happy with them all the time, but I love all of them, and they all belong. Now, I want to live right because I love God. You understand what I'm saying here? But my compelling force here is, my motivation here is love, my love for God and His love for me. Hallelujah. So I belong. I mentioned this, I think, last week. I actually heard this one phrase somebody said up at Michigan. It just stuck with me. And it was in the very end of a sermon. It just said these three words. He says, you belong, you believe, you behave. And I mean, that thing just lit. You ever had something just light up? You know, just one little thing, one little saying, one little word. And it just lit up in me. I said, that is so true, because I belong. And I because I belong, I believe. And because I believe, I behave. But we try to get the whole thing backwards. We try to behave into believing so we can belong. But I do belong. And nothing I did made me belong. It's what He did that made me belong. I have been born again. How about you? Amen. That's how I got saved. I didn't get saved through any good thing I did other than being born again. And I was born again because I believed on Jesus. And that's literally what 1 John 5 starts out saying. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, is born of God, period. How many believe that Jesus is the Messiah? The Christ. That's all that Christ means. It means Messiah, Old Testament Messiah, New Testament Christ, East Texas, the Anointed One. Amen. He was the one chosen. He was the one we've been looking for. He's the one that when John saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is that Christ. He is that Messiah. He is that one prophesied long ago to come. They look forward to His coming. We look back to the fact that He came. And we believe in Him. We believe He did it. He is the guy. You know, I've seen on movies and shows, there's a couple of different shows, they played off that term, the guy. I'm the guy. You're the guy. I am the guy. Well, Jesus is the guy. He's the one we've all been looking for. He's the one that did what we couldn't do. Hallelujah. And I believe that. I believe in Him, and I trust in Him, and I trust in what He did. He did what I couldn't do, hallelujah, and all my faith in Him. And because I believe that Jesus is the guy, because he is the Christ, He is the Anointed One, He's the one prophesied, He's the Lamb of God, He's the one that God said was going to take away our sins and pay the price for our sins. Because I believe that, I am born of God. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. That's good stuff, amen. And then He says, everyone that loveth Him that begat, that's God, loves Him that's begotten. That's you and me. You know, that pretty well sums up. Jesus talked about over and over that we're only under two commandments, and actually we're not under the law at all, but we've got two new commandments here in Christianity, and it's love God, and the other one's love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love God, love people. That's the only commandments really we have, and that really wraps up everything else. If I love you, I won't rob from you. Are you with me? I love you, I won't lie to you. All the Ten Commandments are fulfilled in love. And all the commandments are fulfilled. And all the prophets are fulfilled in love. If I love God and I love you, I won't do anything to hurt you. Amen. In fact, I'll do things that help you. And I'll live with you in mind, not just me in mind. And I think that's where we miss it too. We think in terms of just ourselves instead of the big picture. God wants us to love Him and love people. Amen. So when I live my life, I should think of what is going to please God and what's going to help people. Most of what I do and don't do, or let's say don't do, most of what I don't do in life, what I, as a Christian, as a believer, it's not because I think I'd be lost by doing it, or I think it, you know, would mess me up all that bad. I think most of what I don't do because I love you. Because I just don't want to, it's just not that big a deal. Some things I could do, but it might bring a reproach. It might be controversial. It might be, you know, it might look bad. And it's just not worth it. I'm a pastor. I'm your pastor. I don't want you to be ashamed of me. And I don't want to hurt you. And I don't want to hurt my kids. And so just a lot of things, it's just not worth going there. Is it a big sin? No, of course not. Goodness gracious. You know, I think of, and we hear, you know, about smoking. Brother Osteen used to say, smoking won't send you to hell. It just make you smell like you've been there. Are you out there? And of course, Brother Osteen, he was hilarious. He'd say, people don't smoke. He said, there's no such thing as smokers. They're just suckers. People sucking on one end, smoke coming out the other. You know what I mean? Just okay. Going to hell? No, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about some things are a witness, some things are not a witness. And because of love, I live a certain way. A lot of things, you know, we try to make it out like you're going to hell if you do it. It's really just, it has nothing to do with heaven or hell. First of all, I'm saved because I believe on Jesus. Are you with me? And I belong here because, you know, I'm not right with God because I don't smoke. I'm not right with God because I do smoke. I'm just right with God because he made me right. That went over real big. There are some things that are definitely wrong. There are some things that are very, very wrong. I understand that I wouldn't do, and you shouldn't do. But, you know, it all comes down to I belong, okay? I am a Christian. I am one. I'm not trying to be one. I'm not trying to earn points. I'm not trying to get in God's good graces. I've already been graced. Hallelujah. Now I know I live in a certain manner. There's consequences to the way I live. That's what this moral code's about. That's why there's instruction about living holy and living right. There's a thing called being a witness. There's also consequences to my actions, and I understand that. So, you know, I want to do all these things because it's better for me. It's better for you. It's better for my marriage. It's better for my children and my grandchildren. It's better for me as a pastor. Are you out there? Not to be saved. Not to be saved. I am saved. And because I'm saved, I want to do right. Amen. Now, if you don't want to do right, I'd wonder if you are saved. If you don't want to change, if you don't want to repent when you sin, I would question that. I would. I'd say, well, now, are you saved? Doesn't mean you can't sin. Of course you can sin. We all sin. But if you just absolutely enjoy it and you don't feel repentant about it at all, I would search my heart. I would say, wait a minute, well, do you love God? Because if you love God, you'll want to do right. Doesn't mean you will do right all the time, but you'll want to do right. Sure's getting quiet in here. Second verse, moving along quickly. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and we keep his commandments. Just kind of like what I just said. In fact, the commandments are not just about us. That's one thing we need to keep in mind. Real love for people will cause me to love God and obey his commandments. Real love for God will cause me to love people and obey his commandments. If I really love God, I'll love people. Uh-huh. I can't help but love people because Jesus died for everybody. And so God, there's value in everybody. Even the lost person, there's value there. All he needs to do is just come to Jesus. That's it. Amen. And that drug addict and that hateful person out there, that person did you wrong. You know, you can forgive them if you see them through God's eyes, that all they need is to repent and come to Jesus. You were lost. I was lost. And my love for God helps me love people. In fact, it's impossible to love people without loving God. Want to know the truth. But keeping the commandments is just an outflow of my love. Yeah. Yeah. Keeping the commandments doesn't keep me in love. Loving keeps me keeping the commandments. Yeah. Love is what compels me to do right. You out there. It's my motivation. You know, if we just got a law that says you do this, it's hard to get motivated. But if love motivates you, if love compels you, if you know that the commandment's going to help somebody and bless you and bless your family, being truthful and having integrity and being faithful is going to make my marriage better, and I love my wife and I want her to be the best she can be, and I want our marriage to be the best it can be, and I don't want to hurt her, and I don't want to shame her Are you with me? I want her to hold her head up high. I want her to know that she's going to be provided for and loved and protected. I want to live right for her because I love her.
Amen.
I go to great lengths to do things I wouldn't normally do because I love her.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? And you, for your children, what would you do for your children? Because you love them. You do all kinds of stuff. Love compels you. Love drives you because you really love them. You do anything for your kids. Come on.
And
your grandkids. And it just goes on and on and on. But what is that because you're so good? No, that's because you love so much. Love is a driving force. That's why God talks so much about it. And while we miss it, sometimes we just look in terms of, we look at it in terms of performance and doing things, but love compels us to do things. Love should be our umpire, it decides what we do, hallelujah. It should drive us and compel us. It's our motivation. It's all about motivation. If you want motivation, well, love is a motivator. Love, I tell you, when you first fall in love, you stay up all night on the phone, hours and hours. You get 2 hours of sleep, go to work, work all day, and get home and stay up all night long talking on the phone again. Love will just cause you to go further than you ever thought you'd go. Are you with me? I mean, it's amazing what love will motivate you to do. You know, it's like I heard it said this way, motivation is like filling bags of sand. It can get kind of boring after a while, but if you knew there was a flood coming and you're going to save your house by stacking these, you know, all of a sudden you're motivated to keep putting the sand in the bags. You have vision. You see the point of it, and you're motivated by that vision. Well, love should motivate us. Amen? And because I think we're having a problem serving God because we don't love him as much as we should. We need to fall in love with him. Amen? And the problem we have in marriage is because we don't love each other as we should. The problem we have in relationships is we don't love each other as we should. Because doing right is not going to make us love. Loving is going to make us do right. Y'all catching this? And it's bigger than you. Aren't you glad? It's not all about you. It's about everybody else. Hallelujah. And really, our faith... trusting God comes from loving God. Everything comes down to love. I mean, what's love got to do with it? Everything. Contrary to Tina Turner. Love has got everything to do with it. Love is not a secondhand emotion. That's lust. That was, you wouldn't talk about love. The real love has everything to do with it. In fact, you know, the Bible says that faith works by love. Isn't that something? You know, you don't have no trouble trusting God if you love God. If you understand who God is and what he's all about, that he's your daddy and he cares for you, he loves, and Jesus came with you in mind and you're the reason he came. He didn't have to come. The only reason he came is because of you. The only reason he came and died on that cross and rose again was because of you. What else does he have to do to prove his love for us? You wonder if God cares. What do you mean, does God care? That's the only reason Jesus came, was because of you, because he cared for you so much, because he loved you so much, because he didn't want to see you die and live forever in hell. He sent Jesus so you could live forever with him. That's the whole purpose of it. Nothing there to prove. He has nothing to prove. And our faith should work by love. I have no problem trusting God if I love him. My grandkids, they have no trouble trusting Papa. I mean, my grandsons, they come in my house, they sit down and get my remote control, turn my TV on, open up my refrigerator, and get my Dr. Peppers. Which I don't even drink Dr. Peppers, and Brenda, we get them for our kids, our grandkids. And they sit down like they own the place. See, they belong. You know, if somebody were to question them, they'd go, well, this is my papa's house.
Yeah.
Well, what about that Dr. Pepper? Well, that's my papa's deal. Mikhail's going, yeah. I mean, there's a sense of belonging there that there's no problem with trust. There's no problem with enjoying my resources, because there's a sense of belonging there. Are y'all catching the point here? We struggle with this. See, we struggle with the resources of God. We struggle with the Dr. Peppers in the refrigerator. We feel like we have to earn a right to get a Dr. Pepper out of that refrigerator, you know. I mean, we moan, we groan, we make deals with God, we try to reason with Him and get, you know, about God, if you'll just help me out of this one, I'll serve you if you'll get me out of this mess. And, you know, we go through all this and we don't realize we belong. Come on, this is our house. Daddy's our God is our daddy.
Yes, yes.
This is daddy's house and He loves us. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Yes.
Not arrogantly, but boldly, because we belong. We belong because Jesus paid a great price.
Yes.
He birthed us into this family through His death, burial, and His resurrection. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. I've been justified. You've been justified. I am now a child of God. I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I am born of God. Amen?
Amen.
Mm. That's good stuff. Now, third verse. Let's see if we can get to another verse. 1 John 5, 1, 2, 3. Says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous or burdensome or hard. Well, it's so hard serving God. Well, go serve the devil. Say, what a fine time you had then. I think of all I gave up when I got saved. You know, I came out of drugs and jails, pretty wild lifestyle, and I gave it all up for Jesus. I gave up, you know, getting all wired up and messed up and drugged out and waking up and not knowing where I was the next day and waking up in jail. And but, you know, I gave it all up for Jesus. Get it all for Jesus. I gave up, you know, wondering where all my money went at the end of the week. I get paid on Friday. By Monday, I didn't have a penny. I'd spend it on who knows what. Don't know what I spent it on because I don't know who I was the whole weekend, you know. And I would just get into smoke dope every day and stay messed up every day. And then I'd get high on weekends. Just a terrible way to live. I remember one day I ran out of drugs or something, and I was working, and I was straight. I was sober. My mind was clear. It was a weird feeling. Seriously. It was a strange feeling because I just messed up all the time, smoked dope every day. And then I'd get high on weekends. Like I wasn't high every day during the week. But you know what? I gave it all up for Jesus. Are you kidding? I didn't give up anything. I gave up pain. I gave up loss. I gave up not knowing who I was. I gave up a messed up head. I gave up, you know, money going out the window. I'd get so messed up on acid, I'd go out and I'd pitch a tent out in the woods and stay there about 3 days and try to get myself straightened back out because it'd mess up your stomach and everything and your mind would get all messed up. And I was like 17, 18, 19. Are you with me? Oh, it was a glorious life. It was a wonderful life that I gave up for the Lord. No, I'll tell you what, I found life. I found hope. I found what I've been looking for. Hallelujah. I found something. I found love. I found acceptance. I found forgiveness. I found purpose. I found reason for getting up in the morning. Hallelujah. I found a clear head. I found a sunny sky. Praise God. I found it in Jesus. I didn't give up anything. I found something. I attained something. I'll tell you, I found love, the love of God.
Mm.
And serving Him, I'd rather serve Him than anybody. There's nobody's ever done for me what He's done for me.
Amen.
Nobody ever believed in me like He believed in me. Nobody ever put me back on my feet and stood behind me and helped me and worked with me, was patient with me and still patient with me, still hanging with me. Nobody has my best interest as much as He does. Nobody. Jesus loves me more than anybody loves me. Loves you more than anybody loves you. That's an humbling thing. It's an awe-inspiring thing. That's a compelling thing. It's a driving force for me. It is. I don't want to displease Him. I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to bring shame on Him. I want to live right. I'm not perfect. I mean, I mess up. I'm a human. You know, I get mad. I get upset. I have to repent and those kinds of things. But you know what? I don't want to live that way. I want to live right because I love God. I owe everything to Him. And you do too. Amen? And He's saying this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. It's not hard. No, it's a lot harder serving the devil.
Yes, sir.
You want to know a hard taskmaster? You live your life asserting yourself. You live your life, you know, just pushing your own way and your own rights. You do that. You live your life in an arrogant, proudful way. That's a hard way to live.
Yes.
It's a very hard way to live. You don't have many friends. People don't stand behind you. People won't help you because you're so hard to get along with. No, that's a hard way to live.
Yes.
But you live a life of love, people gravitate toward people like that. You live a life of giving where you encourage people and lift people. And, hey, you want to achieve your dreams? You help enough people achieve their dreams, you'll achieve yours. You help enough people have some hope in their life, you'll get hope. You help enough people, people will help you. They really will, because that's what life's about. Life's about love. It really is. After you've been born again, you know Jesus is Lord and Savior. Love is a compelling force, a driving force to do right. You know, I don't like sin. I don't like what sin does to people. But I have to watch myself. I don't want to hate sinners. Are you out there? I know there's no fixing stupid. I understand that. Run across a lot of people like that, you know. But you think, God, I just, you know, I know God loves them. I know God can turn them around. I don't want to hate them. You know, just because I totally disagree with someone, I don't want to hate them. I don't want to be that way. I don't want people to hate me, for one thing. I don't need to hate people. But there's hope for anybody if they just come to Jesus. And we've got to learn this love walk. Doesn't mean we compromise. It doesn't mean we, because we don't. In fact, it takes a real man to love. It takes a real man to pray. It takes a real men love Jesus. Real men are faithful to their wives. Real men pray. They do. Real men do. Because it takes a real man to do that. Are you out there? Anybody can hate. Anybody can be unfaithful. Anybody can lie. Anybody can not pray. But anybody can just not even acknowledge Jesus. But I tell you, in this day and age, it's getting more so, and it's a sad thing. It takes a man to stand up for Jesus. To stand up and say, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. My faith is in Him. Hallelujah. And I will live my whole life trusting Him and believing in Him. Amen? But love compels us to do that. So he's saying this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And there it is again. Keeping commandments is an act of love. Are you out there? Now think about it. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, He says, come unto me all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He didn't say, come to me and I'll make your life miserable. He didn't say, walk this love walk. Come on, come to me. Let's live for God, and it's going to be impossible and hard, and you're not going to be able to do it. No, He's going to help you do it. That's the good news. He'll empower you. He'll help you do it. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Woo! Y'all need to be doing a little more amen in here. I'm going to have to coach you a little bit here. Easy yoke and light burden. Man, it's so much better way to live, to love people instead of hate people. It's so much easier to lift people than to criticize people. My goodness. Because God's helping you. I always like to say it this way. If you want to hate people, you're on your own. If you want to live ungodly, you are on your own. You don't need any help, actually. You can do that all by yourself. But if you want to love people and you want to live for God, you're not on your own. God will help you. Wow. So if I choose to walk this love walk, I'm not by myself. I'm not alone. God helps me do this. And if God helps me, I can do it. If God empowers me, I can do it. You know, Kenneth Copeland had a dream one time, and I thought it was just awesome the way he explained it. He said he was looking at, for some reason in the dream, the law came up and the prophets came up, and he started looking at all these things like faithfulness and looking at all, you know, telling the truth and having integrity and all this. In his dream, he was having this dream, and he said he saw it all as like a curtain. They were like curtains, and he had a window, and he was trying to hang this law. He's trying to hang it over this window, and it kept falling, and he'd lift it up and he'd put it back over the window. It kept falling down, and he'd pick up integrity, and it just fall down, and he was going, God, what's going on here? And then he saw God gave him a rod, and the rod was love. And he said, well, it all hangs on love. That's why it won't stay up there. Yeah. And so he put the rod up, and all of a sudden everything hung on it. Yeah. It made it easier to be faithful. It made it easier to love people. It made it easier to tell the truth. It made it easier to have integrity. Love is what everything, all the law and the prophets hang on love. That's that driving force, that compelling force again. Amen? So he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The commandments aren't grievous. When love's our motivation, love's our guide, when love energizes us, when love compels us, we'll keep his commandments. That's not a problem. We need to work on love. Not so much the commandments. We need to work on our love. The commandments will just fall in line. Amen. If you really love that person, you wouldn't do that to them. If you really love God, you wouldn't do that. So work on your love. Don't get turned around and get twisted and get sideways about this thing. Let's just love. Amen. And then he goes in 1 John 5:4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. I love that because he's driving this love thing in us. And he's saying we will overcome the world with this. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, how many of you are born of God? All right, most of you. I know Jonah is. He's looking. But we're born of God because what? We believe on Jesus that he is the Christ. We just read that. Amen. First verse says, whosoever believes Jesus Christ is born of God. Well, now, are we supposed to be overcome by the world? No, we overcome the world. Yeah. Why? Because we're so good? No, because we're born of God. Because we belong to the overcomer family. Yeah. Overcoming is our middle name. Yeah. Hello, it's what we do. Yeah. It's who we are. Yeah. It's because of who we are that we overcome. Yeah. Not all the things we're doing, but just because of who we are. Yeah. Because of who we are, we believe. And he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory overcometh the world, even our faith. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. So what are you doing being overcome by the world? I hear people say, well, how you doing? They say, well, pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get over the circumstances. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah. Woohoo! Hey, you're going through a trial? Join the club. I've been there. Going through some pain? Well, you know, life's got pain. I understand that. It sticks, it cuts, it grabs, you know, it's got a lot of rough edges. I understand that. But you know what? We were born to overcome this life. That's it. Born again to overcome this life. Yes. And because we are Christians, we can win. Because if we are Christians, we have the victory. And just by virtue of me being a child of God tells me I can win. I have won in Christ. Amen. And I like this too because it says, everybody say whatsoever. Okay. So think of it this way. Not just me being born of God, but whatsoever is born of God. In other words, everyone and everything whatsoever that's born of God overcomes the world. You who are born of God, plans that are born of God, prayers that are born of God, confessions, deeds that are born of God, you, whosoever, whatsoever is born of God, overcomes the world. So if I'm praying in line with what God says, and if I'm confessing what God says, and I'm doing what God says, and I am born of God, then I, and whatever I say that's born of God, and whatever I do that's born of God, and whatever I pray that's born of God, overcomes the world. Hallelujah, somebody. Y'all get it? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So it would be in our best interest to find out what God says. Amen? Before we make our plans, before we pray, before we confess, before we do something, let's find out what God says, and let's let everything we do be birthed of God. Let's let everything we say be born of God. Let's let everything we pray, let's let it all, we've been born of God. Well, let's let everything we do, say, pray, and confess be born of him. And that being the case, we'll overcome. Now, I can be an overcomer, I can be born of God, and yet sometimes say things that are not born of God. Been there? that won't overcome. Only what I say that's born of God will overcome. Woo! Man, it's good preaching. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Am I going to have to put some sugar on this? Start preaching. Well, that's what God's compelling us to do. And you say, well, how do you do that? Love. That's how you do it. Love. Love God. Keep His commandments. Love God and do what He said. Love God and say what He said. Love God, pray what He says to pray. Love God. Just be enamored with Him. Fall in love with Him all over again. Find out all you can about Him. Spend time with Him. Fellowship with Him. That's what love does. Love shows up every once in a while. Love doesn't just send an email and says, I love you. Love just doesn't send a text. Love comes home every once in a while. Hello? I get tickled. People treat their dogs better than they do their wives, you know? I mean, they work all day long. They come home, and that dog jumps up. And, oh, you, how you doing, little thing? Oh, I missed you, you little sweet little thing. Oh, my goodness. Get up here in Daddy's lap. Come on up here, you sweet thing. Mama comes and says, how you doing? Okay. Hey, little baby. I mean, come on. I couldn't help it. I just thought about that. We got to start loving. Amen? Okay. So he goes on and says this. Y'all get anything out of this? Boy, it's helping me. And giving Brenda all kinds of ammo to use on me down the road. That's what's bad. It says this. In the fifth verse, again, he reiterates the point. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen, you need to quit letting the world overcome you. You need to quit letting sin overcome you. You need to quit letting hurt overcome you. You need to quit letting pain overcome you. The world that we live in overcome you. And it's going to take an effort, I understand. It's going to take a change of mind, a change of direction, and a focus in your life, but start focusing on God who loves you and who's for you, who's not against you, hallelujah. Start focusing on who you are as a believer in Jesus. You're in a whole new family now under a whole new set of rules and a whole new kingdom, got a whole new king. You don't have to submit to that anymore. You don't have to give in anymore. You don't have to cow down. You don't have to lay down. You don't have to float down the river like a dead log. You can swim upstream like a live fish. You can win, hallelujah, because you're born of God. You are a Christian. You have resources you did not have before. You got help you did not have before. You got hope where you didn't have hope before. You're a believer in Jesus now. And if you believe in Jesus, you have overcome the world, is what the Bible says. You were born to do so. And love is our compelling force to do it and get the job done. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I just hate the devil. You know, Dodie Osteen used to always say that. I can see her in the pulpit. Brother John Osteen was our pastor for years. And Dodie, of course, is still alive. She just turned 80 this year and just doing awesome. In fact, we saw her just a few months ago there at Lakewood and talked to her. She'll be 81 this fall. Okay, I told her how good she looked. I said, Dodie, you just look awesome. Well, she does. She looks great. And she says, I've done 2 funerals this week and I got 2 more I'm doing tomorrow. And she said, I just stay busy all the time. And she just looks awesome, but she's just a loving person. Always has been a loving person. She always did the prayer quest at Lakewood. You know, when we have prayer requests, they'd have like a stack like this. And she would just go through them and just read off needs. She said, oh, there's so many needs here. Look here, this person, you know, has cancer, and this person, you know, is in the hospital, and this person lost a loved one, and she's going through all these things. And she'd stop, and every once in a while she said, I just hate the devil. Hate the devil. And she was sincere about it because it was all the devil doing that. God didn't do that. God didn't make people sick. God didn't take people's little kids away from them. God doesn't split marriages up. The devil does that. It's the world that we live in. Well, thank God we got resources like prayer, the name of Jesus, the word of God, the promises of God. Thank God we have access to heaven. Thank God we can pray when those things happen. Thank God we can rise above and overcome those things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you need to understand who your enemy is, and you need to understand who your daddy is. You need to know where to run to when times get tough. You need to know where the Dr. Peppers are. You need to know where the remote control is. Sometimes you need to get in the house. Are you with me? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. I like that. You need to fight from the standpoint of who you are. Not trying to become somebody, not trying to be a Christian, but because you belong, you are a Christian. You have a right to stand up. You have a right to be counted. You have a right to be heard. You have a right to win. You were born to win. You know, it's been said that we were born to succeed, but we're programmed to fail. We live in a world where we just accept defeat, we accept pain, we accept it, and we're just programmed to give in to it when it comes knocking on our door. But we need to understand that's not the will of God. That's not what God wants. There is pain in life, I understand that. But we can overcome, we can survive, we can come up ahead and over it, and we can come out stronger, amen? Don't give up, don't give in. Hallelujah. Just believe God and trust God and make a stand from where you are.
Yeah.
Just from where you are as a Christian, as a believer. You belong. Now believe and behave.
Yeah, right.
Amen. You belong. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, let's say it together. I belong.
I belong.
I believe.
I believe.
I behave.
I behave.
First, get it straight. You belong first. Amen. You belong for. You're not trying to belong. You do belong.
Yeah.
I am. I'm not going to be a Christian. I am a Christian.
Yeah.
And I believe.
Yeah.
And I behave.
Yeah.